As leaders, we know that we should be open and transparent, but we don't always understand why or how to do it. So in this episode, we're going to talk about authenticity, vulnerability, and transparency as a leader. We're calling it Keeping It Real.
This is the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.
Well, I'm honored to have you back for another episode of the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast, where we're so passionate about building leaders, because we know that when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. If you're new with us, we release a brand new teaching on the first Thursday of every month, and I would love to invite you to subscribe so you'll receive it every single month. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, on YouTube. You might want the Leader's Guide. You can download the Leader's Guide at life.church/leadershippodcast, or just let us know your email. We'll send it to you every single month, and you can go over this with your team. If this is helpful to you, it would mean so much to me if you invite others to be a part, share about the teaching on social media. And if you haven't rated or reviewed this wherever you listen or watch, that would mean a lot to me. It helps increase the visibility. This month, we have a bonus episode. So 2 weeks from today, we're going to release an interview that I did with Horst Schultz. He's the co-founder of the Ritz-Carlton. It's an amazing and fascinating interview about how he serves people with excellence and all about customer service. I know it will be really helpful to so many of you. What I want to do today is answer a couple of your questions, and then we'll dive into new content. Thank you for those of you that asked questions. Tyler, you asked a good one. You asked the question, what is the best way to unify a team? If we've got a team of people we're leading and there's some division, they're not moving in the same direction, how do we unify them? Well, Tyler, the two most unifying forces on earth are a common vision or a common enemy. A common vision or a common enemy. To unify a team, what we want is we want our team waking up every day with the same purpose, the same mission, the same vision. If you've ever done kind of what I call those cheesy team building activities where you do a trust fall or you climb the mountain or you go ride go-karts or whatever, the reason that these events are often effective is because everyone is working toward a common goal. They're doing the same thing. That's what a common vision does, is it unites us. The same is true for a common enemy. For example, hopefully that you would agree that war is horrible. War is always brutal, but what can war do? War can unite a country that was otherwise divided, and the reason is because everyone now has a common enemy. If your team isn't united, my guess is the purpose isn't clear. Let me say it again. If your team is not united, chances are really high that the purpose isn't clear. It's amazing how quickly a team will unite when you know what you're fighting for or when you know what you're fighting against. Let's deal with Megan's question. Megan asked this, how do you drive consistency in process and culture with people spread across various locations? In addition, what principles remain the same and are different when dealing with remote teams? Megan, that's a helpful question. I know a lot of people deal with this. The first thing we want to do whenever we're leading people that are not physically present is we want to make sure we're creating the right culture. Why? Healthy cultures never happen by accident. We have to create what we want to see. What is the culture? Well, the culture is always a combination of what you've tolerated or created. It's always some combination of that. If you don't like your culture, stop tolerating and start creating. You want to create a healthy culture. It never happens by accident. To create the culture, what we're going to do is we're going to consistently drive the values, the values, the values, the values. Why? Because what we value determines what we do. We want the values to help course correct when people start behaving in inappropriate or countercultural ways. We want the culture to be healthy, and that way it fights off any type of sickness. If your culture is healthy and strong, what it does is it corrects those who behave in ways that would not be helpful or moving the mission forward. The second thing that you want to think about is the balance between flexibility and control. When you think about people in different locations, you want to think about what things are you willing to bend on, where are you willing to be flexible, and what are the things that there's no negotiating whatsoever, you're going to control and make sure the outcome is exactly as you want it to be. In some areas, You'll be flexible. You'll allow for individual expression or creativity. In other areas, you demand everyone do exactly what you want, the way you want, when you want it. For example, if you own a chicken restaurant, there's no flexibility. No one is allowed to sell hamburgers. That's something that you are going to make sure is exactly as you want it. Now, if you're earlier in the process of going to multiple sites, locations, stores, branches, whatever, you'll probably want to lean a little bit more toward control in the early season. You want to say, this is really how we want things. Then over time, you can experiment where you want to be flexible. Now, this is very important. Too much flexibility and you'll lose focus. People won't be working toward the mission. You'll lose the big wins. Too much control, and over time, your team will think like managers and not like leaders. That's why you want to be very, very careful. Where are we going to be flexible and where are we going to have complete control? When we're in multiple locations, let me tell you what matters. Communication matters. Clarity matters. Culture matters. Systems matter. Accountability matters. Honestly, it's really, really hard work, but the work is worth it. You can do so much more when you empower people to do great things in different locations. Let's dive into new content today. I'm really excited about this. At the end of almost every episode, I always close with a statement that some people really like. Other people tend to push back and kind of argue about. I say something along the lines of this. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to be perfect as a leader. Take some of the pressure off yourself. And then I always say that people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who is always right. We've had many of you write in and ask the question, okay, I want to be real as a leader, but how real should I be? How much should I share? How transparent should I be as a leader? So this episode we're calling Keeping It Real. Let's talk about authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability in leadership. In my experience, there's usually one of two extremes. One side says, we've got to be open about everything. We've got to share every single detail. Without absolute transparency, we can't really be a team. There's another extreme that often says this, man, if I'm transparent, if I'm vulnerable, I'll lose authority, I'll lose credibility, I've worked hard to earn this respect, I'll appear more common, I'll lose some of my power, I'll lose some of my influence, I can't be transparent. I want to just say this, it is impossible to overstate how important appropriate transparency is in leadership. It's also vastly misunderstood how to be transparent, when to be transparent, and why transparency matters. In fact, according to a 2014 survey by the American Psychological Association, only one half of employees believe their bosses are being open and honest. I want you to think about this. Only one half of employees think that their bosses, their managers, their supervisors are being open or being transparent. Another survey shows that only one in four employees actually trust their boss. I hope you'll embrace this. You, as a leader, cannot lead if you don't have trust. If a quarter of your employees do not trust you, your future as a leader is very, very bleak. Something needs to change. So, what do we know about almost all the people that work with us and work for us? Here's what we know. We know that people want to relate. People want to connect. This is true today more than ever before. In fact, more in my lifetime. If you go back in the past and you kind of look at the boomer generation, most boomers, not all, but boomers typically had the mindset, I'm going to go to work for one company, have one job, I'm going to stay there for a long time, and then I'll get my watch when I finally retire. Thank you very much for 50 years of service. Here's your watch. That was the normal mindset. Today, it's not so much like that. The emerging generation doesn't just want a job. Most of the emerging generation wants a job that really matters. They want to make some sort of a difference. And for the job to matter, people crave mission and they crave connection. We want to believe in the people that we're with, and we want to do something meaningful together. So a lot of people are going to say, well, we want our leaders to be more transparent, more authentic, more vulnerable. And you as a leader might realize there's a little bit of a tension. Because if your organization starts to grow at all, now you've got three employees, 13, 47, 209, whatever it is, you're going to realize practically you cannot share everything. Not only is it not practical, but sometimes it's not wise. In next month's episode, we're going to talk about the how. How do we effectively decide what to share, when to share it, and such? I'm calling that episode How to Keep It Real and Not Be Weird, because there's such a thing as oversharing and being weird when it comes to transparency. Today, I want to talk about why it matters so much. Three big reasons why transparent leadership matters. Points number one and number two, they're very similar. In fact, it's almost the same thing, but it's so important. I'm going to say essentially the same thing in two different ways. Number one, why does transparency matter? Because transparency is a suspicion eliminator. It's a suspicion eliminator. What is suspicion? Suspicion is organizational cancer. If you want to kill the progress, the growth, the momentum in any organization, just let suspicions grow and trust fade. What happens is when we as leaders lose the trust of our people, we lose the ability to lead. It can take years to build trust, but think about this. It only takes suspicion, not proof, to destroy trust. What is the recipe for suspicion in any organization? Well, any level of perceived, and let me say that word again, perceived. It doesn't have to be real. It can simply be perceived. Any level of perceived hypocrisy, inconsistency, selfish motives creates suspicion. What does secrecy do? Secrecy breeds suspicion. Transparency, on the other hand, it breeds trust. In fact, if I can chase a little rabbit for just a moment, one of the most common places that we see suspicion creep in our organizations is anytime we have staff transitions. Why is she being let go? Why is he no longer here? What we need to learn to do as leaders is this is a real strategic time to build trust rather than lose it. We need to learn to appropriately tell the truth without slandering a person. Tell the truth. This person isn't here anymore because they weren't a cultural fit. Our work ethics were a little bit different. We weren't quite on the same page. Whatever it is, we want to appropriately, in the best light, tell the truth without slandering the person. And this actually can build trust rather than losing it. The problem is so often we have these kind of vague, blurry, partial truths, and that almost always leads to gossip, rumors, and misbeliefs, especially in my world, in the nonprofit world. If there's a moral failure, anytime that we're not honest, anytime that we're not direct, anytime we're vague, it leads to gossips, it leads to all sorts of things that are often much worse than what really happened. So here's what I just want to say. Appropriately telling the truth answers legitimate questions. It kills gossip and it shuts down rumors. In fact, if any of you lead where a moral failure could impact your organization, here's what I hope you understand. A moral failure handled poorly will always be a trust killer. But leading through a moral failure with truth, integrity, and appropriate honesty can be a trust builder. What do we know? Number one, transparency is a suspicion eliminator. Number two, transparency is a trust builder. It's essentially the same thing, but I'm going to say it in a little different way. The key to successful leadership is influence, not authority. We've talked about that before. The key to being great, successful, making a difference is having influence, not just authority. What's the difference? There's a difference between an authoritative boss and a trust-building leader, a big difference. What does a boss do? Well, a boss drives with authority. I'm the boss. This is the way it's going to be. A boss drives with authority, but a leader inspires with trust. Trust matters so much. What is the currency of influence? It's trust. The currency of influence is always trust. And I hope you'll understand, just because you have a title does not mean that you have trust. There's a big difference. In fact, I like the way John Maxwell says it. He says, true leadership cannot be awarded, appointed, or assigned. It only comes from influence, and influence cannot be mandated. It must be earned. What do we know about transparency and leadership? Number one, it is a suspicion eliminator. Number two, it's a trust builder. And number three, transparency is a relational unifier. It unifies and bonds us in relationships. In fact, I would say that this is one of the biggest missed opportunities for some leaders, because they wrongly believe that the people, they're going to love me, they're going to respect me, they're going to admire me if I'm always strong, wise, and confident. What I want you to understand is this, that they're going to love you, respect you, and follow you more if you're not just an authority figure, but if you're a regular, everyday person. In fact, I've said it so many times, I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, but it's so true. People may admire you for your strengths, but they connect with you for your weaknesses. When you're transparent, there's an emotional bond that takes place. It's a unifying experience. In fact, it's helpful in other ways. As a leader, if you're carrying problems alone, then what do you have? You have only your mind looking for solutions. But if you're transparent about the problems, then you engage the mind of your leaders around you who can help contribute toward a solution. And this is what's so important, is then the people around you, they don't feel like they're working for you, but what are they doing? They're working with you, alongside of you. You are together as a team working toward a common mission. Now think about this. If I'm working with you and I withhold information from you, what are your thoughts about me? I've got something I could share with you, but I'm not. You're going to start seeing me as a competitor. The same is true for you. If you're not telling me everything, why aren't you telling me? We're not on the same page. I'm going to see you as a competitor. But if we're transparent and if we're open with each other sharing information, what are we? We're teammates working toward the same goal. Simon Sinek said it this way. He said, a team is not a group of people who work together. A team is a group of people who trust each other. Three big thoughts. Transparency, it's a suspicion eliminator, trust builder, and relational unifier. Now, pay careful attention. Above all else, to be truthful and transparent with others, you must be truthful and transparent with yourself. People do not want to follow an organization. They want to follow a person. And you don't have to be a person that always gets it right. They don't have to follow someone who's perfect, but they do want to follow someone that they trust. Trust is everything. Let's review and then stick with me for some application questions. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we put into application what we hear and what we learn. Over 1 in 4 employees don't trust their leaders. If you don't have trust, you can't lead. Why does transparency matter? It's a suspicion eliminator. What is suspicion? It is organizational cancer. It will eat up and kill everything that you love. You lose trust, you lose the ability to lead. Suspicion, secrecy, that breeds suspicion. Transparency, that breeds trust. Number two, transparency is a trust builder. The currency of influence is always trust. Just because you have a title doesn't mean you have trust. A boss, they'll direct with authority, but a leader inspires with trust. Number three, transparency is a relational unifier. People may admire you for your strengths, but they connect with you, they bond with you, they trust with you when you reveal your weaknesses. If we're hiding information from each other, we feel like competitors. If we're sharing information with others, we feel like we're on a team. A team is not just a group of people that work together. A team is a group of people who trust each other. Reflection questions. Number one, I want you to think about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how transparent are you with your team? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how transparent are you with your team? Now I'm going to ask the same question in a little bit of a different way, because since we're the masters of self-deception, we're all good at it. I'm going to ask it to you this way. How do you think your team would score you on transparency? Why don't you ask them, even better if you can ask them anonymously where they can be honest, how transparent do you think that you are with them? If that number is lower than about a 9, you probably need to make some changes. Number two, what questions do you think your team is asking that you are not answering? This is crazy important. The people that care, they're out there wondering, I wonder about this, wonder about the budget, wonder about the future, wonder about a past initiative, how we're doing, how are we on hiring, what new project, where are we going? They're asking questions. What questions do you think your team is asking that you're not answering? And once you can answer that question, what are you going to do about it? Now, I can assume that based on the information that we've covered today, it probably raises more practical questions that you would have. I hope it does. So here's a little teaser of the next month's episode. Here's what I hope you'll understand about transparency. Transparency is not all or nothing. As a leader, you always tell the truth. But remember, telling the truth means what you say is true, but it doesn't mean that everything true needs to be said. We'll talk more about how to do it in the next month's episode. Above all else, let me say it again. To be truthful and transparent with others, you have to be truthful and transparent with yourself. People don't want to follow an organization. They want to follow a leader that they can trust. So guess what? Here it is again. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to be the best out there. Just be yourself, because people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thank you for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. If you want to go even deeper into this episode and get the leadership guide or show notes, you can go to life.church/leadership podcast. You can also sign up to have that information delivered straight to your inbox every month. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it on iTunes, and share with your friends on social media. Once again, thank you for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.